welcome to Tiny Urban Homesteading. I'm your host, Justine. I'm a blogger and YouTuber of Country Girl in a Small and City World. I'm excited that you're here with me on this crazy journey of urban homesteading. I hope you enjoy our episode today and find this information useful and you want to come back for more. So here we go. Hi, everyone, and welcome to episode number 8 of the Tiny Urban Homesteading. So today's topic of discussion is going to be about hunting. And I feel like this is a really important topic because as urban homesteaders, we're always looking for the ways to become self-sufficient and be able to take care of our families when times get tough and ways that we can provide. And I think that hunting is a great way to do this. For myself, I've learned the art of hunting since I was very young. My family was made up of a bunch of hunters. We are very outdoorsy people. So hunting is something that's very important to my family. We take part in it every single year, all different seasons. It's a great way that we can provide food to our families as well as provide food to others, friends and other additional family members who may be going through a hard time and need some additional food for their freezer. So hunting is something that's very important to myself. It's very important to my husband. I will say some of the information that I am going to talk about today, my husband has given his input. He has also hunted since he was very young, and he has very much a passion for it, and he enjoys it a lot. So I got to kind of pick his brain about it too. I tried to convince him to come on this podcast with me, but he was very unsure about that. So he's like, I'll give you my opinions on it and some of the ways that I hunt and what I do and how to be successful at hunting. So I'm really excited to talk about this topic. And in general, I will say, if you're a person who doesn't believe in hunting, is offended by it, then this probably is not the best podcast for you. So you probably should switch episodes or turn it off completely, because I am going to talk about some topics when it comes to hunting. I feel like hunting is a big, you know, topic very similar to processing and raising your own animals on a homestead. So I find it very similar, except you're going into the wild to do it rather than if you're raising that animal. So sometimes these hit kind of a hard spot for people because they don't believe in it. They don't believe it's ethical and all these different things like that. So if those things offend you, I don't suggest listening to this podcast. I have a lot of other great podcasts for your urban homestead, but this one may not fit you well if you don't believe in those kind of things. So let's go ahead and get started. So why hunt? For us and our family, we have been doing it since a young age, as I mentioned before. We love being able to go out into nature and to be able to, you know, obtain this animal and bring this animal home and feed our family for months on end, which is fantastic. As urban homesteaders, we always try to find ways to be more sustainable, and this is an excellent way. And I really wanted to do this podcast because right now, I'm sure a lot of you can agree that there's a lot of uncertainty going on in the world. We're in, you know, the midst of a pandemic. When everything started to look a little bit kind of brighter that we were getting to the end of this pandemic, we were not. I know in our area alone, we've had several cases, and it has just completely skyrocketed from what it has in the beginning. And it's very scary. A lot of schools have shut down. A lot of businesses have been forced to shut down. And it has been such a hard year. And with those uncertainties, you have to think to yourself, how am I able to provide for my family when stuff really goes sour, basically? When the stores shut down, when there's limited inventory of products, how am I able to support my family? And just the other day, we went to the grocery store and got some of our, you know, typical items that we get. And we always make sure we have enough paper products on hand because we do go through a good bit of them. And we went to go get toilet paper. And as most of you know right now, there is a toilet paper shortage yet again. So it blew my mind. And when I saw that and I saw the shelf, and I'm thinking to myself, wow, like we're going through this again. But it's kind of scary because since the numbers are increasing even more significantly, like what does that mean? What does that mean for the food industry? What does that mean for the grocery stores and the, you know, the retail stores and everything else like that? And it merely makes you wonder, wow, like, should I create a plan for myself and my family in case we're unable to go to the store? How can we provide for ourselves? And with that being said, that's why hunting for our, you know, for our family is very important, because for us, it's a way that we know that we can provide for our family, for our friends, so that we will not go hungry during these times of uncertainty. So if you have been interested in getting into hunting, it's definitely a great time to do it. So today's podcast, I hope that you get a lot of information that maybe you have been been interested in hunting and wanted some kind of clarification on things or what the process is. I'm going to kind of give you a list of about 7 to 8 items of things that when you're preparing to hunt that you need to do. Now, this list can be done in kind of really any sort of order. I'm just kind of giving you the gist of my list and what we do, myself and my husband, when it comes to hunting. And if you're fairly new into hunting, this is a great list to kind of go by to get you started. And I really wanted just to create this episode, especially for people who are just getting started in it or interested in hunting. So if you're an avid hunter already, you've had several years in it, then this podcast may not be for you because you probably know a lot of these things already, but maybe you want to, you know, just listen to it to see maybe how we do some things different than you do. I will say I plan on having a follow-up to this podcast about, like, you know, cooking wild game and weight and, you know, ideas like that. I didn't really want to get too much into that in this podcast because it would be a little too long. So anyways, let's start at the list. So the first thing you need to do is decide, what do you want out of hunting? Now, what I mean by this is, are you looking for the meat? Now, as I mentioned before, for us, it's all about the meat. We're all about going out there, being able to get this product, bring it into our home, and be able to provide for our family for months. For some people, hunting is just for trophy. So what I mean by trophy is they're looking for the biggest buck out there, or they're looking for the nicest animal that's going to have the greatest mount on their wall. And then they take their meat and then they donate it or they give to family members. So for this podcast in general, we're going to look at it as a way of saying, okay, we're in it for the meat. So that's how we're going to approach this podcast. So number one, decide what you want out of it. So if you decide, hey, I want enough meat for 6 months, I want enough meat for a year, I want, you know, enough product for my family, maybe I want a turkey for Thanksgiving. Like, you have to create a plan and decide why. If you can't figure out why you want to do it, then you probably should take some time and think about it. So decide why you want to do it and the best way to approach it with that. So number two, what do you want to hunt? So we've talked about why you want to hunt, but what do you want to hunt? So hunting season, we'll take, for instance, I live in Pennsylvania. So we have several different seasons. We have small game season, which that's your squirrels and any of your small games like rabbits. We have our deer season, but in our deer season, we have flintlock and muzzleloader. We have rifle season. We have archery season. So there's a lot of different things that go into each kind of season per se on what you want to do. So our archery season has opened up a couple weeks ago. And so, like, my husband right now, as we're speaking today, the 28 degrees that it is outside, he's out archery hunting. So for us, you know, we've started out with archery, and then, you know, our rifle season goes in, I believe it's next weekend, because they changed our laws a little bit in Pennsylvania, because now we can hunt earlier. Before, it was the first Monday after Thanksgiving. It's always funny because people are like, why are all the kids off in Pennsylvania on that Monday after Thanksgiving? And we're like, oh, it's the first day of buck. Like, you didn't know that? So it's a Pennsylvania thing. But you need to decide really what you want to hunt. Some people want to go hunting just for turkey. Some want to go hunting just for squirrels, or just for deer, or just for bear, or coyotes, or anything like that. So there's a lot of opportunity, but you need to decide what you want. Now, for us, we focus on deer. Deer and squirrels. We don't really get too much into turkey hunting. We have done it before, but it's not one of our, you know, kind of main things that we do. We really love deer season. So we love archery and we love rifle season when it comes to deer. So our biggest focus usually during hunting season is deer. We haven't really adventured too much in bear hunting. We would like to get into coyote hunting because coyotes around this area do pose a threat to some people, and the population is getting heavier. So when it comes to the population becoming heavier, we really, you know, you need your hunters out there to help with conservation. So that's another thing. Hunting is obviously a form of conservation. In our state especially, some of the population of animals we have is overtaking some residential areas. It is attacking other animals that may be not that much of a population of. They're attacking people's animals at their homes. Like, so there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of risk with some animals. So that's why hunting is a great way for conservation. And some people may not understand that. Some people may argue up and down all day with you about it, but it is a form of conservation. Okay, so getting back to our list, we talked about what you want out of hunting and what you're going to hunt. So now, since you've decided what you want to hunt, you really need to do your homework on this. So let's take, for example, you want to go deer hunting. So you need to find out for your state what the rules and regulations are and what the seasons are. So we live in Pennsylvania. Our rules and regulations and seasons may be different than someone who lives in Tennessee. Their season may be longer, our season may be shorter, or there may be different time periods when you can hunt and when you cannot hunt. Pennsylvania, that's the case. We have different seasons, different times of year. Like, we have archery that comes in the beginning of fall, then it stops during rifle season, and then it comes back in after Christmas. So there's that situation too. We have turkey where we have, you know, fall gobbler and we have spring gobbler. So you need to look and see what your state's rules and regulations are and what the seasons are within whatever animal that you want to go after. So you need to look at that information. Along with homework, so once you've decided on which kind of which animals you're looking at, what the rules and regulations are, you need to figure out where you're going hunting. Now, obviously, if you're an urban homesteader, that means you live in the city or an urban area in general. You just can't go out in your backyard and hunt. Maybe some of you can. And that's impressive, but I know for myself I cannot do that. But most cities are surrounded by rural areas in the country settings. So you need to look at where you're allowed to hunt at, what is considered public space, and what is private property. You need to do your research. There's a lot of great information and tools out there. There's apps for your phone that can tell you about different areas in hunting and who owns the property and what's considered private and public land. And you need to see what the rules and regulations of that are too. Maybe there's different areas where you're only allowed to hunt certain things, or you have to watch this or not, wildlife preserves or anything like that. So you need to do your research on your location, because location is important. And once you figure out your location, then you need to do more research on it. So you need to actually physically go and check out the area, because you want to be comfortable going into that spot the first day and not feeling an uncertainty of, oh, if I go too far in, I'm not going to get out, or I don't know which direction I should go, or I don't know if there's going to be hunters. There's a lot of, you know, variables that play into hunting in general. So you need to do your homework. And that's something for us. Like, if we're going to go to a new hunting spot, we're going to probably walk that land prior to hunting, making sure you have the proper attire to do that. So make sure you have orange on, because if you're just walking to find, you know, just to look at the area, you don't want to accidentally get shot by a hunter that thinks you might be an animal. So be smart and be responsible when it comes to that. But it's important to do your homework on wherever you're going to go. Also, you need to look at the patterns. So how the weather plays a part. If you're going to go archery hunting, if it's a very, very windy day where you got 50 mile an hour winds, you need to kind of look at your game plan for the day, because you may not have a perfect shot. It may be a little more challenging. Your arrow may take a different direction because of the wind, or it may take a different direction because it hit a stick or something like that. So you need to look at kind of the weather patterns too. What are you getting yourself into? Because weather patterns is then going to open up a whole new another situation where you need to do your homework. So if it's going to be 20, like today's 28 degrees, obviously you're going to want to wear warm gear. You want to make sure you're not freezing, because nothing is worse than sitting there waiting and freezing to death. I can tell you that's one of my least favorite parts. That's why I have invested in good quality clothes that are warm, that are going to last for hours. Because if you're miserable in the woods, it's just going to be a miserable day. And going out into the woods and being in nature should not be miserable. Because for me, that's kind of like my sense of zen, being out in nature and just sitting there and listening to, you know, the wildlife and waiting. It's just relaxing. So you need to do your research on the area you're going to. You got to do your research on kind of the weather pattern. So then you know, okay, I need to invest in the right clothing. Now, early archery season here, it was warm. Like, it was, you didn't want to wear layers because it was so hot. So you need to make sure, like, you're prepared. For us, we have our kind of our early fall clothing for hunting. And then we have our late clothing where it's heavier, because it is getting colder in Pennsylvania going into, you know, the end of November into December, and especially into January. So we have different sets of clothing. So that's important as well. Then you need to look kind of at the area, look at the population too. Is there lots of hunters there? Like, you need to look at those things too when you're doing your homework on the area. So you're looking at your homework on the area, you're looking at the weather, the patterns, just in general. Okay, so when I go and sit at the spot that I'm interested in, do I have good shooting lanes? Do I have any brush in front of me? Do I have any areas where I'm a little bit concerned if a hunter comes through there that I'm not 100% sure if it's a deer or if it's a hunter? It's all about being confident in the woods. So if you're walking in not being confident about it, then you're going to have a problem, because you're going to be stressed out all day thinking to yourself, oh my gosh, if I don't have a clear shot and I can't see what's behind that deer, and if there's someone sitting there, I can accidentally, you know, this could be very tragic. And it has happened. Unfortunately, in our area alone, we've had a lot of different situations where hunters unfortunately have lost their life or got extremely hurt because hunters were shooting and they accidentally thought that person was a deer, and, you know, it ended in some very bad things. So you don't want to ever feel that way. So you want to make sure that you're prepared and know your area. Do a walkthrough even prior, just so you're comfortable. You know kind of your lanes that you can shoot in, what's behind it, making sure that you're within a certain radius of the road. Like, there's different laws and regulations. You have to go back and look at your state, you know, rules and regulations when it comes to hunting, because there's going to be game wardens out there. There's going to be officers out there, and they're just doing their job. So you want to make sure that you're following the rules and you're doing everything correctly, because there is repercussions of not following rules. And that could result in getting fines, that can result in losing your hunting license for a long period of time. And you don't want that. If you're just getting into it, you don't want to get yourself in a bind before you even really start. Okay, so also looking at homework, you need to also make sure that you're prepared. So how's the parking situation going to be? Where can I park? Where is it legal? Where am I going to get towed? Like, you need to look at all those things, and especially with the land, making sure that you are legally allowed to hunt there, that it's not someone's private property, that it's not in a land where you're not supposed to hunt. So rules, regulations, it's important. You want to be legal. So that means you need to do the research first. So do your homework. It's going to take time, but I promise you it will pay off, because then you won't go into that spot being stressed out about different situations. So that's important. Now, since you've done your homework, you know what kind of animal you want to you want to go after. You know the area, you know the kind of the climate of the area. You need to then go ahead and buy your license and your tags. Each state's different. Pennsylvania runs theirs where they have a certain time period where you can purchase your hunting license and you can get your tags, your doe tags. Here you have to get doe tags. So we have like opening day, we call them like opening days, where you can send in the mail for doe tags. So that's the first round. Once the first round's gone, if there's any certain tickets left or tags left, I should say, then you can go for a second round. Now in our state, it's all divided into like certain areas and regions. So you could get like, say for instance, tags for 2E or 2C. And that's the area that you're getting the tags for. So that means you can only shoot in that area. So going back to rules and regulations, you need to be aware, especially if you've never hunted a day in your life and are not really sure of any of this kind of stuff. You need to do your research. Talk to your friends and your family who are hunters. Read information on the website. Call your local park offices or anything like that if you need to get this information, because you want to be completely clear 100% that you're going in the right area. Because if you say, for instance, shoot a deer and it falls and it's your tag is not for that area, you're going to be in trouble, and you're not going to get to take your deer home. I can tell you that. They will take your deer. So you need to be prepared. So do your homework and research up front before you take the time and to walk into the woods and invest in all this money. You got to do it right. So with that being said, make sure you get the right tags for the right areas. If you're unsure about your areas, you know, ask people. It does not hurt to make a phone call to, you know, your commission office and say, hey, listen, I'm unsure of this. Like, I don't know where the regions are. Can you help me out? And they'd be more than happy to help you, because they want you to be legal too. Like, they don't want to have to write you tickets. They don't want to have to give you fines. They don't want to have to do any of that, because that's a lot of paperwork on them. So just make sure you're doing it correctly. If you have any questions, ask, research it before you do anything. Okay. So now we've talked about buying license and tags. So now we need to look at our equipment list. So this is kind of a long one, so bear with me. You need to make sure, one, we mentioned earlier, clothing. Clothing is vital. Your boots are vital. You do not want to be cold. Make sure you have hand warmers. Make sure you have the right gloves, the right kind of hat, the right just kind of stuff in general. It's when it comes to hunting, there's going to be an investment up front. If you've never hunted and this is your first time ever, there's a big investment up front. So you're talking, you know, with your clothing, your weapons, your all the other equipment that you need that I'm going to talk about when it comes to hunting, there is an upfront investment. But I promise you, once you have that stuff, then you have it for years. I've had hunting clothes since I was 18 years old that I still have. I invested in upfront. They're good quality and they have lasted me until now. So first and foremost, make sure you have the right clothing. So as I mentioned earlier, if you're hunting in the early fall, maybe warmer. So you need clothes that are a little more lightweight compared to when you're hunting in December, January, where it's colder and you need heavier clothes. So make sure that you are dressing accordingly and have those right attire for the hunting season, or you will be miserable. I can tell you that nothing's worse than being miserable when you're hunting. Next, you need to look at your weapon of choice. So if you're obviously in archery season, then you need to pick the right kind of bow. So are you going to use a recurve, or are you going to use a compact bow, or are you going to use a crossbow? So there's lots of different things like that you need to figure out, like, what's the best for you? What are you going to be most comfortable in? If you're going rifle hunting, what's going to be the best caliber for you? What is going to be the best, you know, type of weapon for you. What are you going to feel most comfortable with? If you're going small game hunting, are you going to use a 22? Are you going to use a 12 gauge or a 20 gauge? Like, those are the things you need to look at. If you know nothing about guns, you need to definitely go and talk to someone about it. Go to a gun store that maybe has a range where you can test products. If you have any friends or family that are, you know, big gun advocates that have different types of guns and calibers and that can help you, please do that, because you want to make sure that you're fully comfortable going into the woods, that you know your caliber, you know how your gun shoots, you know if there's an issue, how to fix it, and you know the most you can about it so that you are comfortable going into the woods. I can say that. So having the right choice of weapon, and that's something that you have to kind of decide on yourself. You know, everybody can say they have a specific type that they like. You know, I may like a 223, but my, you know, husband may like something, you know, he might like something completely different. So you have to figure out what's best for you. What do you feel comfortable with? What is going to work for you for that specific season and that specific animal? Because obviously you can't use a 22 and shoot something big like an elk, and you don't want to use a huge, you know, caliber gun for something that's very tiny. So you need to do your research when it comes to that. And next, you need to look at calls. So depending upon what you're going for, you need to look at, okay, do I need deer calls? Do I need turkey calls? Do I need this? I need that. Look at that. And I will tell you what, it's worth the investment. They're not very expensive, and they will definitely help, because animals, you know, they have a very keen sense of hearing. So with that being said, that helps. It's going to draw them in. Next, your scents, especially when it comes to deer season. Right now, currently the bucks are in rut, so they are chasing the females like crazy. So when we go into the woods, obviously the scent of female doe urine attracts them. So you can either spray it on you, or we actually have it on strings that we kind of drag behind us, and it attracts, you know, it puts that scent out there. So that's helpful when it comes to hunting, as well as we actually wash our clothes in a product that helps take the scent out of the clothes, because animals have a keen scent, like deer have a very keen sense of smell. So they know when they can pick up that odor and that scent, they're like, oh no, there's a human. Someone's here that shouldn't be here. So for us, we wash our clothes in specific products. You can actually get body wash, shampoo, conditioner, all this stuff that's like unscented, that takes the scent away so that you cannot be detected in the woods, because animals have very good senses of smells. So they can hear it and they can smell it. So it's important, you want to mask that smell. So also don't put cologne and perfume and stuff on before you go into the woods. It's just common sense. Even deodorant, they make it unscented deodorant too, as well, so that they don't pick up any of that scent. So sometimes it's hard to completely cover up the scent, but it's good to, you know, make those decisions to try the best as you can to cover that scent. Another thing to look at is, how are you going to hunt? Are you going to hunt in a tree stand? Are you going to hunt on the ground? Are you going to hunt in a blind? How are you going to stay maybe protected because it's rains or snows a lot? How are you going to do that? So you need to make the decision on what's going to be the best way for you to be protected. So for us, when we hunt, my husband this year has hunted out of a climbing tree stand. So what that is basically what it sounds like is a tree stand that you have to climb. There is different types of tree stands. There's ones that have ladders. There's a lot of different variety out there. So he likes to hunt from the trees. So he likes to have that view. Where myself, I feel more comfortable hunting from a blind. That way I'm protected from the rain and the snow, and I just feel more comfortable that way than being in a tree. So I like to hunt in there. And that way too, I am kind of camouflaged as well, because I'm not just sitting up against a tree. So that way I'm able to not only be out of the elements for the most part, I am able to still see what's going on around me and be camouflaged as well. So there's lots of different options. People have tree houses if they are hunting on their own property. There's lots of different opportunities. You just got to find what's best for you when it comes to hunting. Also, some other things to think about, like backpacks and radios, walkie-talkies. If you're going to be hunting in a group, having a walkie-talkie so that you guys can continue to talk to make sure no one's too close to one another, if in case there's an issue, if you need help with something, so you can have walkie-talkies. The backpack's always great to have, because that's the way you're going to put your extra equipment. So you're going to want to maybe put rubber gloves in there. You're going to put your knives in there. You're going to put extra ammo in there. You're going to put extra arrows, food and water. That's something to, you know, don't forget food and water. You want to keep yourself hydrated. If you're not planning to leave your stand or your area for a long period of time, make sure you pack lunch, because you don't want your stomach rumbling, because that's going to be additional noise in the woods. So make sure you're packing accordingly. So that's your food and your water and other items you might need, some extras, maybe even extra socks, because nothing worse than having cold, wet feet. So pack the extras in there. So looking at what size of backpack is going to work best for you. And maybe you have a little one with you, so you're going to have extra stuff for them because they may be like 10 or 11 and you know how they get antsy. So having some extra snacks in there from them and just having the extras. So having that backpack as well. Also, just when it comes to buying items for hunting, I will say quality means a lot, because when you spend a little bit more money up front, then in the long run, you're going to have those items for a long period of time. Like I said, I've had some stuff since I was 18 years old and I'm 30 now. So they have lasted up until now, which is incredible. So if you invest a little bit more money up front, I can promise you it will be worth it, because that stuff will last for several years so that you don't have to keep purchasing it. So quality means a lot when it comes to hunting. A disclaimer, I will say, when it does come to hunting too, you know, safety is key. So when you're getting a tree stand, making sure that you have harnesses, that you have a way to rappel down if you would get, you know, would fall out of your tree, like looking at the safety aspect, making sure that you have your cell phone on you in case of an emergency, in case you get sick or something happens and you can't reach someone. Like, it's important to think about those little safety things as well. Letting people know that you're going hunting that day. So if you don't come home that day, that they know that, hey, he was out hunting and this is where he hunts at, so we should go check on him. So kind of have an emergency plan per se, that where you're going to be at, so in case there is an emergency, that your family or friends could let people know where you're at so they could, you know, track you down, or if there's a medical emergency or something like that. So just being prepared, looking at all safety measures, because you are in the woods, depending on how far you're hiking back into, you may not be able to get out, or you may not even have cell phone service. So if you're in a place where you don't have cell phone service, you need to kind of find some alternatives to that, and maybe telling your friends and family, hey, I'm going hunting, I plan to leave at 8 o'clock. Like, if I'm not home by this time, then you should probably be a little bit concerned and come look for me. So keeping those things, you know, in mind, because safety is a big importance when it comes to hunting. That's like my first and foremost important thing, is making sure that you're being safe and you're taking all the precautions to be safe. Okay, so moving on to number 6. Now, since you have basically decided on what you're hunting, where you're going to hunt at, you have your license, you know the rules and regulations of the area, you have the right equipment, now you need to prep everything out. Now, if you're planning to prep 5 minutes before you leave, I can promise you that's going to be a problem, because you're going to end up forgetting something. You're going to pack too heavy. You're going to pack too light. There's going to be some problems. So prepare yourself the night before. Have everything set out. Organize your backpack so you know where everything's at. Make sure everything's good. You have enough ammo. Your gun or everything is clean, whatever season you're going into, whatever piece of equipment you're using. Making sure you have your calls, that you have your radios, everything like that. Everything you need, make sure you have it prepared and ready to go. Because then in the morning, all you got to do is get up and leave. Because most times, when you're hunting, you're getting up pretty early in the morning. And the last thing you want to do is be like trying to look through things when it's like 5 o'clock in the morning and you're exhausted and your eyes are barely open. So if you have it prepared, put it in your truck, in your vehicle or your car or whatever, and have it ready. That's going to be great, because then all you got to do is get up, get changed, and leave. So prep all your stuff. Make sure that all of your equipment is ready to go. Get a good night's sleep. I can tell you, when you don't get a good night's sleep and you try to hunt the next day, I promise you, you will fall asleep in the woods and you will probably have whatever animal you're trying to go after will probably run right by you and you'll not even know it because you were sleeping for the past 6 hours. And it happens. There's times where it's real like quiet and like the perfect environment and you're like, oh, I'm going to take a nap right now, which if you want to take a nap, that's fine. But you're taking the risk of, you know, the animal just walking right by. So get a good night of sleep so that you're prepared the next day, so you're alert, because you don't want to be half tired in the woods with a weapon and God forbid you're not like kind of all there, because you know how when you get tired, sometimes you may think you see things that aren't there or whatever it is. And you don't want to have a situation where it's not an animal or it's not the right species of animal or it's even another hunter. So just make sure you get a good night's sleep. And last but not least, make sure you, and this is what I've mentioned before, make sure you are comfortable going into that woods or that area. Because if you're not comfortable, you'll be stressed out all day. And that's not a good thing. You want to be able to go hunting and have a good day. And if you're not comfortable with the area, if you're not comfortable with your weapon, if you're just not comfortable about shooting anything in general, then you need to kind of gain that confidence before going into the woods. So for myself, obviously, like if I don't know the area very well, I like to go there one or two times prior to just know the area, know how to get out to the woods, know the directions, know my shooting patterns with the shooting lanes, making sure I know what's behind bushes, that I know what's behind trees. I like to be prepared because then I know that I'm okay. Like I know my environment, I know everything. Also too, if you're a first time, you know, a person shooting a weapon, you need to make sure of any sort. It could be, you know, bow and arrow. It could be, you know, a rifle. It could be a muzzleloader. It could be anything like that. You need to make sure that you feel comfortable with it, because you want to know if it jams, how to fix it, how you can fix it right there in the woods. If there's an issue, what do you need to do? If there's something wrong, like if it's just good to know those kind of things when you're in the woods, because you're by yourself. So there's no one really there to help you, and you need to be able to handle it in that situation. So just be prepared in general. So just going into the woods, being confident. If you're not confident, then you need to take some more time to get confident before going in the woods. That's definitely one of my biggest suggestions. If you are feeling a little unsure due to some things, then figure out why you feel uncomfortable and kind of work on that a little bit before going into the woods, so that you are confident in yourself and you're confident in your hunt for the day. Now, safety. That's the biggest thing that I've preached all day, and I will say it again. And my husband's kind of given his four suggestions when it comes to safety and hunting. So his first suggestion is treat your weapon as if it was loaded. So especially this is for, especially for rifles. So you need to treat that gun like it's always loaded. That means not pointing it at people, not, you know, randomly like pointing it at your foot. Like, you need to be very aware of where the barrel is pointing with your gun. You need to be very aware of that, because accidents happen. Maybe it is low. Maybe you do have the ammo in it, but you don't have it. You have it on safety. Make sure you put it on safety. So you need to make sure that you, at all times, you know where your weapon is. That's important in general. Number one. Number two, as I mentioned before, never point the barrel at something you don't want to shoot. That's just, it kind of goes with number one, but never point it at something you don't want to shoot, because weird things happen. It may be on accident, but you don't want to have any accidents that are terrible in the woods, because most times you're there by yourself, and a lot of times there's no service there, or you're out way far out in the woods, and when there's medical emergencies and stuff, it could take a while for someone to get there. Number three, keep your weapon on safety. If you have a rifle, keep it on safe. The safety, because if not, an accident can happen very easily, and it does. And some people don't mean it to happen, but accidents happen. We've seen it. We've heard of it. It's terrible. So just be aware of your weapon. Number four, keep your finger off the trigger until you're going to fire. So don't be holding it up there with your hand on the trigger if you're not going to actually fire. And like, a lot of these safety things are in relation to guns more than archery, because a lot of our seasons, especially here in Pennsylvania, you're using a rifle, you're using a muzzleloader, you're using an AR, you're using a pistol, something like that. So these are just more or less, like, for us, these are our safety things that we follow the four, because a lot of our seasons do deal with using a rifle or a gun of some sort. So those are the top four things to remember. And even if you are doing archery or anything like that, it's important to know where your bow's at. One, because sometimes you're walking and you kind of come up on a deer or that animal, and you're like, oh my gosh, like, now I have the perfect opportunity to shoot this animal. So you need to think about those things, because sometimes they'll catch you off guard. And most times a lot of people have gone after whatever, you know, species they're looking for, and it has been when they least expected it. So be prepared, know where your weapon's at all times. Now, last but not least, I did mention it a little bit before, but it's important to remember, like, hunting is a great thing for conservation. And I have a lot of people that argue with me up down all day long about how it's not ethical and it's just terrible and why would you do that. And for me, I feel worse when I see an animal, especially deer, on the side of the road that were hit by trucks or cars. I feel terrible, because those poor animals had to suffer at that point. Whereas when you are in the woods and you are hunting, at that point in time, you feel confident enough that you're going to have a good shot, that you were going to make sure that that animal is taken care of successfully, that you're going to have that you are going to shoot that animal so there's no suffering at that point. At that point in time, it was a quick shot and it was done. Now, there is sometimes where situations occur where the elements change. Say, for instance, you're an archery hunter and your arrow goes the wrong and hits in the wrong spot. And then that's when you're getting into a whole different situation. But you need to realize too, as a hunter, that don't make a shot unless it's a good shot. Don't make it say, oh, well, I think I can get past these trees. If you don't feel confident in the shot, don't take it. Let the animal walk. There's more animals out there. Don't just do it because you're like, oh, I want a deer so bad. No, make sure it's a good ethical shot. If it's not, don't do it. That's one of my biggest pet peeves. Don't take the shot unless you know it's a good shot. So when it comes back to conservation, like especially in Pennsylvania, we could get override by deer if we didn't have our seasons that we have. Some areas in Pennsylvania have a really overpopulation of turkeys right now. So they're actually extending their turkey season out in some of the areas to like, I think 3 weeks now instead of 2 weeks. So if you don't help control the population, they will overtake the human population basically at that point. There'll be way too many. There'll be more of them on the side of the road. There'll just be more issues depending on what the species is. Like it could affect humans, like coming after humans. It could affect people's, their homesteads in general with their animals or even their, you know, dogs and cats. So it's important to realize that hunting is a great source of conservation. It's also a great way to provide for your family. So all in all, you know, it's been something that's been instilled in myself and my husband all of our lives. And we have such an appreciation for it that we're able to do it, to be able to provide for our families with it. So hunting is an excellent way. If you are an individual looking for alternative ways to be able to provide for your family, obviously you can't do it in the city. Even though there is some cities, apparently you can get permits through the city if there's a mass population of a specific animal that you can hunt, but there's a lot of restrictions. So you need to look into those things. That goes back to the rules and regulations that you need to look into prior to actually going out and hunting. So those are the things to look into. But for homesteading, even as an urban homesteader, we still can be able to go out into the woods on the, you know, in the country part around the city and be able to provide for a family that way. And another thing to look into, last but not least, is after you have successfully hunted and you did get your animal that's going to provide for your family, you need to look how you're going to approach that. And I'll do a whole nother podcast on, you know, field dressing and trying to figure out what's going to be the best way to utilize that animal and whatnot. So that'll be my next podcast. So if you enjoy this one, look for the second one. I'll have it released pretty soon after this one. So I hope you've all enjoyed my podcast today. If you're new and interested into hunting, I hope you enjoyed all this information and good luck to you all when it comes to this hunting season. It is a great way to provide for your family and a great way to be self-sufficient. So I hope everyone has a wonderful day and I'll see you on the next podcast.